your boat at the Volvo Ocean Race Destination Village on Abu Dhabi's Corniche Breakwater on the 12th and 13th of December. Come see BBC Worldwide's stunning film and orchestral masterpiece, Blue Planet in Concert, performed live on the floating skyline stage by the NSO Symphony Orchestra Abu Dhabi and conducted by five-time Oscar nominee George Fenton. Tickets on sale now from timeouttickets.com or Marina Mall, Abu Dhabi. BBC Blue Planet in Concert, part of the Volvo Ocean Race Abu Dhabi stopover. For details, visit VolvoOceanRaceAbuDhabi.com. 91.6 for Abu Dhabi, 105.2 for Al Ain, and 87.9 for Dubai. This is Abu Dhabi Classic FM.
Music, culture and more inside the minds of the UAE's creative forces.
This is The Muse with Maha Amiri.
This is Abu Dhabi Classic FM.
Welcome to The Muse on Abu Dhabi Classic FM. I'm your host, Maha Amiri, and each week I'll be speaking to a guest in one of the creative fields. Our guest will pick out the music for today's show. Kuwaiti-Syrian artist Shahrouk Amin is with us today. The visual artist is a Pushcart Prize-nominated poet with a doctorate in creative writing and ekphrasis. Her multimedia works of art have been described as controversial and taboo at times. Her series, It's a Man's World, was considered so controversial that it provoked a shutdown by Kuwaiti authorities. Just a year later, in 2013, she was awarded Artist of the Year by the Arab Woman Awards. Some of the titles of her work include The Last Straw, My Harem in Heaven, A Tale of Two Muslims, All Quiet on the Eastern Front. Shahrouk Amin, welcome to The Muse.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
I've read out a few of the names of some of your pieces. How would you sum up the type of art that you create? How would you describe what you do?
Oh, well, I don't necessarily like labels or definitions. And I kind of struggle with that because the other day, at my show, a reporter asked me, so what school of art does this belong to? And I said, does it have to belong to a school of art? It doesn't belong to any school of art. It is what it is. If I had to provide some sort of a definition or a title for it, I say sociopolitical. It's sociopolitical art. That's what it is, because it takes images from society and translates them into beautiful works of art. But these images from society are reflective of the culture we live in, reflective of things, events, people, actions that take place. And I'm trying to say that this is the truth as it exists. And so what we have to do with it is we have to put it out there for discussion, open a dialogue with it. And only by doing that can we create the potential for progress in any culture.
Have you gone to art school? How'd you learn your craft?
No, I have never been to art school. I studied literature all my life. Academically, I'm a student of literature. Art for me was just something that I was born with. It was a gift. It was noticeable by my family, so my family encouraged and supported it. At 9 years of age, I had my first group exhibition because I used to draw so much and sketch so much that my father, gave it to the National Council of Arts in Kuwait, and they included it in a group exhibition of theirs. By 13, I had owned my first easel and oil paints, and I started, copying the masters with oils. So it was always a lifelong journey for me. It's always been my mission, my purpose in life. It's never been a question that will I paint or will I not paint, or it wasn't a choice. It wasn't like I decided, I'd like to go to art school and be an artist.
You studied literature and you're a poet too.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you have to flip between the two modes of creativity, or do they exist at the same time for you?
They completely exist at the same time for me. I don't need to choose which one am I. I'm an artist and a poet. It just so happens that a lot of my paintings include my poetry as well as other people's poetries, mainly Nizar al-Qabbani. I used a lot of his poems because he was also censored and his books were banned in the Arab world at a certain point in time. And he really inspired me. Now, when I did my PhD, I chose the topic of the field of ekphrasis, because it is what ekphrasis is, the connection between art and poetry. So I thought, you know what, this is going to be fantastic. Nobody, you know, everybody asks, are you a poet? Are you an artist? Nobody knows what ekphrasis is. Ekphrasis is something I totally relate to, because I am in the middle between the two. So that's why I did my PhD on that. If you look at history, there's a lot of poets slash artists that existed in synthesizing these two parts of themselves, like Khalil Gibran, William Blake, Leonardo da Vinci. So it's not that it's unheard of or impossible to do. It just so happens that for some people, I don't see that one is exclusive of the other. But at the moment, I'm focusing solely on a painting that just happens to be the direction I'm in. Because for me, the writing, it comes more fluidly and it's more accessible. Whereas the painting, I have to do it in the studio. So there's no limitation to where I can write. So I do that on the side all the time anyway.
Why don't we pause for a moment and play the first song on your list?
Wonderful. Ration. And this is actually my anthem when I enter the studio and start to paint. The first thing on my playlist is this song.
Look at me and tell me you ain't seen the best of me yet. Give me time and I'll make you forget the rest. I've got more in me and you can set it free. I can catch the moon in my head. Don't you know? Coming together, people will see me and cry. I'm gonna make it to heaven, light up the sky like a flame. I'm gonna live forever, baby. Hold me tight.
name.
On a cultural note, this is The Muse
on Abu Dhabi Classic FM.
That was Fame by Marie. Shuruk, you mentioned that you haven't had any formal instruction in painting. How do you continue to develop these skills? If someone saw one of your paintings, it might be hard for them to believe that this is someone that's self-taught.
Yeah. It's about just doing it every day, really. For me, my process is I do one series a year, which is about, let's say, 13 to 20 paintings a year. I do everything from scratch, manually. There's nothing digital. So it takes a lot of time. I work on the concept, and then I spend about 6 to 8 months painting. So I pretty much spend 3/4 of the year in the studio. That's a long time. And if you don't learn something from that, you gotta be, something is wrong with you if you don't learn something from that. So it comes from the practice. It comes from being in there, down in the grit and the mud daily. I wanna learn. For me, it's a process of not just, it's not just that I am expressing myself and having this voice, but also that while I'm doing it, I'm becoming better and better and better technically with each series. So yeah, it comes with just doing it every day.
Are you self-critiquing or are you getting feedback from other people on ways to improve your style?
Sometimes people are very keen to provide their own opinion about things, and I listen to that with an open mind. If it's constructive criticism that's coming from people that I highly respect and know for a fact that they know what they're talking about, then I will definitely take it into consideration and definitely make an improvement if I'm convinced that it's going to help me, if it's going to benefit the work or not.
You mentioned that you started off painting early on and you sort of developed your skill by copying some of the masters. Are there any artists who are inspirational for you or that you whose works you really admire that you can speak about?
Absolutely. Without a doubt, Frida Kahlo and Gustav Klimt come as my two favorites. Gustav Klimt, because of his technique, the colors, the patterns, the elongation of the bodies, the construction, and his extreme controversy in how he portrayed women, sexuality, nudity. It was the way he did it at the time was very controversial. And it's just so aesthetically hypnotizing. And I really, really fell in love with his work when I actually went to Vienna and went to the museum and saw his work live. When I saw it live, it was awe-inspiring, very different than from seeing it in a book. Frida Kahlo, for me, she's a hero because the things she struggled in her marriage and with her husband, the things she struggled in her with her health, and all the time using these things, using this pain as a vehicle to create utter beauty. I kind of relate to that. I relate to that as a woman struggling in the Arab world, Arab Muslim woman struggling, as a single mom struggling, as an artist struggling, I relate to that very much. And so her works are very poignant for me.
Her works seem somewhat, or to a large extent actually, autobiographical. Is it the same with your work?
Absolutely. I don't know if my work is purely autobiographical, but definitely it contains scenes from a life that I have seen, from lives that I have seen, lives that I have encountered. It's reality all around me. It's a certain aspect of society that I have been exposed to. And so in a way, there is autobiographical elements in it. Definitely some paintings are very autobiographical, like My Mistress and Family. Or that one was very autobiographical with the and from It's a Man's World, with the mistress sitting on the man's lap, and you see tiny little replicas of his family in the background. They're tiny, 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 like they're insignificant. And the mistress is huge and big and on his lap. things like that definitely are autobiographical. So, yes, yeah.
Let's play another song.
Okay, yes. So the next song is called Becomes the Color by Emily Wells. It's from the soundtrack of Stalker. And this one definitely inspires me and puts me instantly in the mood to paint. It is also one of the songs that is usually the opening song for my day in the studio. So here it is, Becomes the Color.
Art, music, culture and more.
This is The Muse
on Abu Dhabi Classic FM.
Became the color.
The Muse with Maha Amiri.
Abu Dhabi, Classic FM.
Becomes the Color by Emily Wells. A song pick by our guest today, Shahrukh Amin. You mentioned that Becomes the Color is from the movie Stoker. Is there a particular fondness for that movie?
I love that movie. I love alternative things. I love indie things, whether they're movies or songs. And that movie was particularly disturbing. It really delved into the psychological realm of taboo within the family.
A lot of your works have been considered taboo.
Well, I think when I started my series Society Girls, Society Girls was about women, the secret life of women in the Arabian Gulf. And when I showed that, for people in my country, it was like, how could she show this? This is very private. You know, it made them very suspicious of my motives. Then when I did It's a Man's World, it became even worse. It caused an uproar and it was shut down and everything. And I think that's because what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to instigate change. When we hide something, when we hide issues we have, we are never going to get help or support for them. We're never going to be able to discuss them and solve them and find solutions for them. Therefore, there's not going to be any progress in that category, in that field. So the idea is to expose taboo issues in order to find solutions for them in our society. For example, mental health. The mental health institutions are not the best, most pleasant places to be. It's not the kind of place you want to send your child to. For me, for example, I've suffered with that. I've suffered in my own family with that and trying to find treatment. I spoke about it in a painting called This Is Not a Pipe, a Deconstruction, which is representative of what I suffered from with my child. The painting consists of cutouts torn out of papers I received from the mental health institute and from the therapist and from the doctors and from the psychologists and all of these people. I tore them all up over a year, and I pasted them onto the painting and created a work of art with me using me as a self-portrait composition. And, you know, when I was working on this painting, it was a very emotional time for me, and there were actually literally a lot of wet tears on the collage of the cutouts, which are creating the petals of the flowers in the painting. If you see the painting and you see the flowers in it, all the petals are actual cutouts of the papers I received from all the therapists and doctors and all the crazy, insane things they were telling me that didn't make any sense whatsoever. It inspired me to talk about this issue. So I've talked about it in Popcornographic, and I've talked about it in this series, We'll Build a City on Art and Love. It keeps popping up because there is no solution. We haven't found a solution yet. So by exposing it in art that will last forever, people will eventually be aware that it's an issue. Hence, there may be change. So that is my hope.
Why don't we play another song on your list?
Okay, I'm going to choose a song now which transports me to an island where I'm tanned, relaxing, riding a bicycle with a basket, and there's total bliss. So here's a few minutes to relax with Lost in the Light by Bahamas.
Subscribe to eLife and get the 3 for free offer. Hurry, it's for a limited time only.
Channeling creativity at the weekend.
You're listening to The Muse on Abu Dhabi Classic FM.
I'm lost in the light. I pray for the night to take me. Take you to. After so many words, still nothing's heard. Don't know what we should do. So if someone could see me now, let them see you.
was my greatest thrill. But we just stood still. You let me hold your hand till I had my fill. Even counting sheep don't help me sleep. I just toss and turn right there beside you. So if someone could help me now, they'd help you too. They help you too. See you through all the hard things we've all gotta do. 'Cause this life is long, and so you wouldn't be wrong. Free and free. Your bones. I said some awful things and I take them back. If we would try again, and just remember when, before we were lovers, I swear we were friends. So if someone could see me now, let them see you. Let them see you through all the hard things we've all gotta do. 'Cause this life is long, so you wouldn't be wrong.
This is The Muse with Maha Amiri.
This is Abu Dhabi Classic FM.
That was Lost in the Light by Bahamas. Shahrukh, I can definitely see how there might be a reaction to the types of topics or themes that run through your pieces. What has been the community reaction? We know that you've had a show shut down, but you couldn't continue to show unless there was interest in your work.
Exactly. The community has been very conflicted with my work. It's been a love-hate relationship. I have extreme supporters, people who see my vision, understand my vision, they understand my message, they love my message, they support me, and, you know, and on social media they will defend me. And they will say, keep fighting the good fight, and we need more women like you, and we need to speak up, and we need to have a voice, and we need to create positive change, and your, you know, art is your weapon, and this and that. And on the other hand, there's the haters who misinterpret my message. They think I'm not a patriot. They think I am blasphemous, and they're very nasty to me on social media. You know, for me, I don't blame them, and I don't mind them, because I understand where they're coming from. They don't know where I'm coming from. They don't know my message. They don't understand my message because they don't understand my art. And so people are always afraid of what they don't know. So for them, the fact that I go against everything they know and I go against everything they're used to is frightful. Because here I am, a woman in my 40s, single, divorced, mother of four children, raising them on my own. I have a full-time job as a teaching professor at Kuwait University. I'm a full-time artist as well. I publish poetry. I'm independent. I'm strong. I'm fearless. And here I am telling them, putting these images in their faces. Of course they're scared of that because they can't pigeonhole me. They can't box me into a nice little box, which is why I just let them say what they want to say. Controversial art has always been criticized. Eventually people come around. Proof of that, of course, is going from being the censored artist to artist of the year within 1 year in the same country. So definitely, it's like a love-hate relationship, and I'm okay with it.
What message do you have for those that might be in opposition to your work? If they were, you know, sitting across from you, if you were having a discussion with them, would you try to explain your work?
Well, they start to change their mind immediately after meeting me as a human being, as a woman, because they can see that I'm not a hypocrite. I'm not saying one thing and living another. So they see that as a human being, I'm real, I'm genuine. And I suppose they appreciate that and respect that. And so from there, that can open up a platform for discussion.
Shuruk, should we play another song?
Yes, of course. I'd like to play A Bad Man's World by Jenny Lewis because it reflects my place as an artist. And I guess I feel I'm addressing the world with it.
The Muse with Maha Amiri.
Abu Dhabi Classic FM.
It's a bad man's world. 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 It's a bad. Got a bullet left, but I can't decide which scorpion I'm gonna shoot. It's a bad man's world. I'm a
and more.
This is The Muse
on Abu Dhabi Classic FM.
That was Bad Man's World by Jenny Lewis, a song pick by our guest today, Shuruq Amin, artist and poet. Shuruq, I've noticed that in several paintings, you use veils. You have faces turned away from the viewer, or the faces are just completely whited out. And that happens with not just women, but men also. Why is that a recurring theme in your paintings?
Mm-hmm. It's definitely a recurring theme. The cover that I use can be different things in different series. For example, in Society Girls, it was the veil. In It's a Man's World, it was like a screen, a white screen on the faces. In Popcornographic, it was sometimes a Hannibal's mask. And now with Build a City on Art and Love, it's actually flowers. And so first of all, why am I covering their faces? I'm covering their faces because we do most everything behind closed doors. On the outside, you don't see it. On the inside, behind closed doors, that's where it exists. And so if you remove this mask, if you remove this cover, people are not going to be telling you the truth. Hence, in my paintings, they're anonymous, but you can see them in actions and places and themes that are absolute reflections of the truth in society. Now, if you remove the cover, they're not going to be themselves, because that's how we're raised in this society. Now, recently, the mask became flowers with the We'll Build the City on Art and Love, because the flower is symbolic of potential for growth. It starts as a bud and it grows out beautifully. And that's what I'm trying to say with this series. It's a series of hope and a series of construction from deconstruction. So therefore, the flowers symbolize that potential for growth, potential for advancement.
You mentioned your series, It's a Man's World. How did that name come about for that series?
Well, I reference a lot of my titles from songs, movies, books, literature. So it was only natural that It's a Man's World from the song would become the title. And I wanted the title to be sarcastic because, yes, it may be a man's world, but when you look at those paintings, it makes you sad that it's a man's world. And so that's kind of the effect I was going for. My titles are always very powerful, very sarcastic. There's a lot of tongue-in-cheek. There's a lot of play on literature and referencing analogies. And I need to do that because the subject matter I expose is so grave and so serious and taboo that I need to play with humor and make it and present it in a way that is slightly humorous for it to be palatable.
Can we discuss your experience of what you felt while your show was shut down? Because as an artist, everyone wants the freedom of you know, being able to express themselves. So you were under investigation, right?
Yes.
What did that feel like?
It
doesn't
was
happen
actually,
every day, right?
No, it was devastating. It was completely as a surprise. It was 3 hours into the show, and suddenly this man comes in, and he's wearing an earphone, and he's talking and taking pictures on his mobile, and then he disappeared, and he came back with, I think, 5 other men representing 3 different ministries. And it was terrifying. It was a terrifying experience. They were saying there is potential for jail and this, you know, we're going to have to investigate this further and you may go to jail for this. And I was like, why are you terrorizing me? I'm a mother. I'm a professor. I'm an artist. This is not, there's nothing blasphemous or pornographic about any of this. Absolutely nothing that goes against the Constitution. And they, of course, didn't see that. And then eventually they took the paintings down, shut down the gallery. And what we did that night, the gallery owner was quite smart. He smuggled the paintings back to his place. He didn't leave them there in the actual gallery space, which was really amazing luck because the next morning at 10 a.m., a policeman showed up with a big van and said that they're here to pick up all the paintings because they're going to actually destroy them. I mean, that was just devastating for me. Thank God that We had.
And you'd spent how long working on all these paintings?
A year, mm-hmm. a whole year of working on these paintings. And in the end, to have it all, you know, treated this way and treated in such a kind of a disrespectful way was very hurtful for me. Following that incident, I spent a long time feeling very depressed. The only thing that got me out of my depression after a few weeks was the messages of support I got from the international community. The international media supported me, sending me thousands of emails and messages, and that's what got me going. That's what fed my soul. It was so heartwarming to receive the support from people I didn't know. So I then started printing out some of these emails of support and pasted them onto this block of wood. And that became the first painting for Popcornographic. And I immediately got back in the studio and started painting again. I didn't let it stop me. And I came back, you know, bigger and better with a bigger show in Dubai, with a bigger gallery. And, you know, I showed them.
Okay. Let's find out. Why don't we talk about what happened to the paintings that were smuggled out of the gallery that night? But before we do, can we play another track on the list?
Yes, I'd like to play Jungle by Emma Louise, since we were talking about me being depressed and all of that. So Jungle talks about a confused woman and a couple. The story is a couple still in love, but they fight all the time because she is too complicated for him. It's called Jungle by Emma Louise.
This is The Muse with Maha Amiri.
This is Abu Dhabi Classic FM.
In a dark room, we fight, make up for our love. I've been thinking about you, about us. I'm moving slow, our hearts beat so fast. I've been dreaming about you, about us. Hey, 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 shadows will dance. I've been aching for you. Understanding myself and my love is missing. Sorry for the sign of a man to be hurting ourselves, and I'm complicated. You won't get me. I have trouble understanding myself. My head is a jungle. My head is a jungle.
Jungle.
Music, culture and more.
This is The Muse
on Abu Dhabi Classic FM.
That was Jungle by Emma Louise. Shuk Emin is here with us today. Her show, It's a Man's World, was shut down in Kuwait. What happened to those paintings?
Well, word spread around of the shutdown of the show and social media went crazy with it. Next thing we know, there's people calling the gallery owner wanting to purchase these paintings. And eventually the paintings were pretty much sold out over the phone. People were just calling and purchasing them over the phone. So they all found a home, and they, you know, the negative became positive for me.
Do you ever worry, or is it a concern of yours that becomes a defining aspect of your
Absolutely,
career?
Absolutely. I was very, very worried that I would be known as the banned artist or the censored artist forever. And I wanted to get out of that. And I thought the only way to leave that behind is just to keep painting and to keep producing and to keep doing what I do best and to prove myself. So I did that. And eventually, a year later, I got awarded Artist of the Year. And for me, that was validation. And it meant I could put behind me being the censored artist and I could focus on being Artist of the Year and having something to offer and being heard and being respected and admired. So now I don't feel the stigma of it at all. Now I kind of embrace it. It was a period in my life. It happened. And until today, my work is censored in many places. It's not ever going to go away, I suppose. As long as my work can be shown on social media and through people and word of mouth and in people's homes, then the message has a home. The message has, you know, airwaves, let's say, to be transported. And that's the important thing, that the message be heard. It's created a bigger platform of collectors for me and a bigger platform of an audience for me. I have a very strong support system in terms of my fans. They let me know it on Twitter, Instagram, emails, messages.
Who are your fans, or specifically, who are the buyers of your work?
I mean, since I've been signed up with Ayam Gallery, and they are my sole representatives, I'm not involved in that process anymore. So I don't ever really know who's bought my work. If the collector would like to introduce themselves to me, that's wonderful. If they don't, that's fine. That privacy is fine too, because you have to remember sometimes they don't want people to know that they're purchasing this work because it's so controversial. And they may not hang it in their living room. They may hang it in their bedroom. So that's fine. It's okay, because they do love the work. They believe in the vision. And they respect it. And that's all that matters to me. So it could be, somebody old, could be somebody young, male, female. I think I have a very diverse fan base.
Why don't you play another song right now?
All right. So the next song is a classic, I suppose. House of the Rising Sun by The Animals. I love this song. It makes me feel very strong and like I could do anything.
Inside the minds of the UAE's creative cheerleaders.
The Muse on Abu Dhabi Classic FM.
Rising sun, and it's been the road. The music that inspires the nation's creative forces.
The Muse on Abu Dhabi Classic FM.
House of the Rising Sun, the number one hit from 1964 by The Animals. Do you think that the reaction to your series, It's a Man's World, would have been different if it was a male artist that was exhibiting those works? Or do you think that that was just strictly an issue of censoring the themes and the images?
That's an interesting question. I did think of that before, and I think it would have been a different response if it was a man who had painted the paintings. I really think that. I don't think it would have been okay, but I think it would have been dealt with very differently. I think it would have been dealt with more discreetly if it was a man, rather than kind of humiliating me in public, as it were.
What are your thoughts on the art scene in the UAE, how it's evolved and how it's evolving?
I think it's wonderful. I'm so impressed by what Abu Dhabi is doing and what Dubai is doing. I even like in Qatar, even in Sharjah, I'm very, very excited to be an artist in this region, because there's so much potential. There is a support system, and there is definitely the potential to be great and a great art center. So I'm very excited about that. It's just a matter of time before people catch up. It's got to start somewhere. And if it starts here, wonderful, as long as it started. So I'm very happy with the way things are with the visionary leaders in this area.
We're nearing the end of our program. Shruk Amin, thank you so much for being on our show today. Visit our Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter pages at The Muse with Maha for images of Shruk, her work, and links to her website. Can you tell us what your website is in case listeners want to go directly to it?
If you want regular updates, I would advise going to the Ayam website. They have an artist page for me that has press and updates, and that's www.ayamgallery.com.
Okay. Shruk, why don't you tell us what your final song for today's program is?
I actually saw this in a dream. It's a mainstream song, actually. I'm sure you've heard it before, but I saw it in a dream, and it inspired the title for my 2015 series that will be coming up next year. And this song is called I See Fire by Ed Sheeran.
This is The Muse with Maha Amiri.
This is Abu Dhabi Classic FM.
Oh, miss the eye of the mountain below. Keep careful watch of my brother's souls. And should the sky be filled with fire and smoke, keep watching over during suns. If this is to end, then we shall all burn together. Watch the flames climb high into the night, calling out Father, oh, stand by and we will watch the flames burn up and on the mountainside. We should die tonight, we should all die together. Raise a glass of wine for the last time, calling out Father, oh, prepare as we will watch the flames burn up and on the mountainside. Desolation comes upon the sky. Now I see fire inside the mountain. I see fire burning the trees. And I see fire hollowing souls.
you remember me? Finding mountain holes, we got too close to the flame. Calling out, Father, oh, hold fast and we will watch the flames burn over and on the mountainside. Desolation comes upon the sky. Now I see fire.
That inspire the creative minds.
This is The Muse with Maha Amiri.
This is Abu Dhabi Classic FM.
We'll rock your boat at the Volvo Ocean Race Destination Village on Abu Dhabi's Corniche Breakwater on the 12th and 13th of December. Come see BBC Worldwide's stunning film and orchestral masterpiece, Blue Planet in Concert, performed live on the floating skyline stage by the NSO Symphony Orchestra Abu Dhabi and conducted by five-time Oscar nominee George Fenton. Tickets on sale now from timeouttickets.com or Marina Mall, Abu Dhabi. BBC Blue Planet in Concert, part of the Volvo Ocean Race Abu Dhabi stopover. For details, visit volvooceanraceabudhabi.com.
From trumpets to tubas and from New Orleans to North Yorkshire, Brassed Off on Abu Dhabi Classic FM.
Oh, have I got some great brass playing on this week's Brassed Off. From America, the Burning River Brass.